It's time to register to vote for President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Each congregation or multi-point parish must register their pastor and lay voter with the LCMS Office of Secretary by Sunday, March 24th of 2019. A registration form has been mailed to every LCMS congregation. Learn more at issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident.
Choir is where I think the choir ought to be, invisible to the people, so that the music comes from behind you and above you in an organ loft. You can't act like a peacock if you know that nobody is looking at you.
There is some truth to the criticism that we don't want to do our disciplines just for show. But I think the pendulum has completely swung in the other way, and we do our Christian freedom just for show.
She prepares him for his burial. She does it in this very generous and humble way. That's what we're supposed to remember, her humility, her obedience, her generosity, not her name.
LCMS Navy chaplains appreciate daily food for thought on issues, etc.
Well, this takes me back. It has indeed been a long time, probably approaching, could it be 20 years, maybe the better part of 20 years. When we first started talking with Pastor Chris Rosebro about what was then the book that was going to change not only the church permanently, it was going to change the world in a lot of ways, the purpose-driven life. Do you remember 40 Days of Purpose? Every church was doing it. And I think we rightly identified it as a fad, a big fad, a long-running fad, but nothing other than a fad, because it did eventually fade away. It had a few offshoots. There are still people probably a decade later discovering the book and maybe doing Bible studies on it, but not so much anymore. But its author, Rick Warren, is still around and doing very well, and he's still talking about purpose. And oddly enough, he's still using the same way of handling, or we might say mishandling, the Bible that he did when he wrote the book in the first place. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we're going to talk about Pastor Rick Warren's sermon, The Five Purposes for Your Life. Pastor Chris Rosebro will be our guest. A little bit later, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We got four soundbites, one from Terry Mattingly, one from Heath Curtis, one from Paul McCain, and one from Brian Wolfmiller. We're going to be playing those four for you. You listen, and then you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for This Week in Pop Christianity to talk about Rick Warren's sermon, The Five Purposes for Your Life, Pastor Chris Rosebro, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
In order to understand what we're going to hear today from Rick Warren, we need to go back and define a term we've used many times here and elsewhere, eisegesis. What does it mean?
All right. So there is a way you twist the Bible that is called eisegesis, and it starts with an E, E-I-S, and then Jesus with a G. And it basically, it takes the Greek preposition into, which is eis, and Jesus, which means to kind of read. And so the idea then is eisegesis is to read into the biblical text things that are not there. And so what the fascinating thing about it is that usually the way the technique begins is you start by telling people the theology or the doctrine that you're going to teach. You go and find a biblical text that may look like it's teaching this concept, but then you overtly stick in the thing that you said was going to be there, but it isn't there if you were to look on your own. And so it's a form of adding to God's word, which is a very, very dangerous thing to do. God warns very stern warnings against those who would add to his word. But that's what eisegesis is, reading into the biblical text stuff that isn't there.
Okay, so reintroduce us to Rick Warren, who is now, I think it's safe to say, kind of one of the elder statesman of pop American Christianity, but it's and still influential in his own way, but he's not the cutting edge anymore.
No, he's yeah, saying he's the elder statesman is a good way of putting it. You can also say that he is one of the primary fathers of the modern mega church movement, and so much of big box evangelicalism was pioneered by Rick Warren as well as a few others. And so he has a huge stake in the creation of the modern manifestation of big box evangelicalism. So that's a good way of putting it. Going back, and you should not be using the word 20 years ago. That's a strange thing to say. You're making me feel old, Todd. But it's been the better part of two decades since we've been talking about Rick Warren. And he's the author of a book that isn't as well known, that the Purpose Driven Church, which forms the big basis, gives the big block ideas for much of big box purpose driven evangelicalism, and then maybe it was 15 or so years ago the big bestseller was the Purpose Driven Life. It's been reworked and repackaged, but Rick Warren's entire ministry seems to be centered on this concept of the importance of you finding your unique God-given purpose.
All right, so what are we going to hear first from Rick Warren on five purposes for your life?
So this is the setup for the sermon, and he's going to talk about the importance of three things, knowing your identity, knowing your purpose, and then the timing as to when to go after your purpose. And he's going to then go into 2 Kings chapter 18 and reference King Hezekiah, and we'll note how he references him and see if you can identify where he inserts into 2 Kings 18 his own theology.
Today, we're continuing in our series on the foundations of a life well lived. There are three parts to laying a solid foundation for your life. First, you have to know who God made you to be. That's your identity. Now, the second part of the foundation is you got to know what God wants you to do. That's your purpose. First, you need to know your identity, and then you need to know your purpose. What on earth am I here for? Then, the third part of a life well lived is you got to know when to do it. And that's the right timing. Who you are, what you're supposed to do with your life, and when you're supposed to do it. Now, when all three of these line up in your life, your identity and your purpose and your timing, you have the ingredients for a successful life. Now today, I want you to see God's five purposes for the rest of your life. But to set this up, I first want to ask you a question. Who would you guess was the greatest king in the Bible? You might guess King David. You might guess Solomon, who was the wisest king. The Bible tells us he was the wisest and wealthiest king. You might guess Saul, who was the first king of Israel. But God says the greatest king of all in the Bible was a little known king named Hezekiah. And the Bible tells us all about him in 2 Kings chapter 18. Let me read this to you. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. Hezekiah trusted the Lord. And there was never another king like him in the land of Judah, either before him or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands of the Lord that he had been given by Moses. And Hezekiah, watch this, was successful in everything he did. Can you imagine that? How would you like to have God say that about you, that you were successful in everything you do? Hezekiah was successful in everything that he did, that he was the greatest king in Israel. Why? Because he always did what God wanted him to do. He knew who he was, he knew his purpose, and he knew the right timing.
All right, Chris, what did we just hear?
All right. So he began with telling you his theology. You got to know your purpose. You got to know your identity. You got to know the right timing. He started there. He then read out part of 2 Kings 18 from a fairly decent translation. Well, actually, maybe not. The New Living Translation. It's okay as translations go. And then he inserted at the end that the reason why Hezekiah was successful in everything he did was, according to Rick, because he knew his identity, he knew his purpose, and he knew the right timing. Yet, when you read 2 Kings 18, there's no mention whatsoever of Hezekiah knowing his identity, purpose, or timing. None of that is ever mentioned at all in any text regarding Hezekiah. Rick literally stuck that into the Bible. It's not there. So that's an example of eisegesis.
And what are we going to hear next? We'll just let Rick build on what he's already, I was going to say, pulled out of Scripture, but he has, and he's kind of shoehorned it into Scripture. What are we going to hear next?
Well, so now he's going to build off this concept, and he's going to tell us more about Hezekiah and an account of Hezekiah where Hezekiah is going to die, and he argues with God, and he's given 15 more years, and we'll learn from Rick Warren why he believes Hezekiah was given 15 more years in his life.
Now, Hezekiah lived an amazing life, but eventually, of course, Hezekiah grew older, and he starts having health problems. In fact, Hezekiah came down with a terminal illness. God comes to Hezekiah and says, Hezekiah, you're going to die. But interestingly enough, Hezekiah wasn't ready to die. So he gives God a 32-word argument on why God should let him live and serve God longer on earth. Now, that part of the story, as I said, is recorded in Isaiah. In Isaiah 38, verses 1 to 5, it says this. Later, this is much toward the end of his life, Hezekiah got sick, and he was about to die. And the prophet Isaiah comes and says, Hezekiah, prepare your affairs and your family. This is it. You're going to die. And the Bible says, Hezekiah turned away from Isaiah, and facing the wall, he prayed to God. And here's what he prays. Remember how I've lived my life. Remember that I've lived faithfully in your presence, that I've lived out of a heart that was totally yours. You've seen how I've lived and the good that I have done. And it says, then God said, you know, Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. And here's what I'll do. I'll add 15 years to your life. That is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible to me. Can you imagine you doing this with God? That you're near death, God's told you you're going to die, you're going to go to heaven, and you ask God to extend your life and ministry because you've done everything he asked you to do? God, I'd like to live on earth longer, and here's my reason. I've served you faithfully. Now, first, God, he says, I want you to look at my life, and God, I want you to notice that I faithfully obeyed you and I did everything that you told me to do. And second, I want you to look at all the good that I've done for other people and look at the impact my life has had for your glory and for the good of others. Well, that's what Hezekiah does, and evidently God agreed with him. He agreed with Hezekiah's assessment of his own life because he says to Hezekiah, when Hezekiah says, Lord, I'd like to serve you on earth just a little while longer, and I'll make it count. God says, you know, Hezekiah, I believe you. I know you will. So I'm going to extend your life for 15 more years.
Well, Chris, I can see that not a lot has changed in how Rick Warren not only reads the Bible, but how he's got an interesting technique for coming to the conclusions he has already decided he needs to come to, doesn't he?
Yeah, you'll note that this when he's reading Isaiah 38, he's switched to the Message paraphrase. So one of the techniques that Rick Warren is infamous for, and this is all over the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, is that he constantly cherry-picks from different English translations and paraphrases, hunting for the one that will fit with the theology that he's spinning. He doesn't let Scripture unfold the theology that is revealed within the inerrant, inspired words that are in the Bible. Instead, Rick Warren begins with his conclusion and then cherry picks these different translations to make it appear like the Bible is teaching this, but it doesn't. But you're going to note something here, and that is that Rick Warren has broken kind of one of the cardinal rules of Scripture, especially as laid out by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, as well as in the book of Galatians and Philippians and other places. And that is that he has not properly made a distinction between the law and the gospel. And what Rick Warren is promoting as a result of it is a really starkly scary form of works righteousness. Now, I want you to consider it this way, Todd, and that is that, you know, he's saying, could you imagine God extending your life? What, you know, and because you have been obedient. Well, Todd, I don't know if you're aware of this, but God in Christ and by Christ's merits has extended your life, and you, Todd, have eternal life. You're going to live forever. And it's not because of your obedience, it's because of Christ's obedience for you. And so you're going to note then that what Rick Warren is doing here really confuses and jumbles law and gospel and the different purposes for which God gives us these different messages, the law and the gospel. And it creates the impression that, you know, we earn life or an extended life or blessings from God by being fully committed and obedient to learning our identity, finding our purpose, and knowing the timing when to apply that. And this is a scary form of legalism that is very ambiguous as far as what exactly you should be doing, but you need to be committed 100%. That's the one thing we know for sure.
Going into this break, I know that people, including yourself, have called Rick Warren on these two things. One, his egregious cherry-picking of various paraphrases and translations. And two, his conclusions, which he continues to assert after 20 years, that somehow we can appeal to God on the basis of our works for his favor or for his blessing or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've spoken to Rick directly about, and even gave him an example from his own preaching. And this was 11 years ago now. And I met with him privately. And when I laid this out and tried to explain to him the proper distinction between law and gospel and showed him from his own sermon how he was creating a false impression that somehow, you know, it's up to me in this stark naked obedience, and there's no call to repentance and to be forgiven, and his sanctification isn't about bearing fruit and keeping with repentance, Rick Warren pretty much deflected and said, well, that's a very Lutheran way of looking at it. And he had nothing more to say about it after that.
We're talking with Pastor Chris Rosebrough. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, Pastor Rick Warren's sermon, The Five Purposes for Your Life. We'll hear a little bit more from Rick Warren and from Chris Rosebrough on the other side of the break. He's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Well, as a corrective to Rick Warren's theology, here's a little bit from the pen of Pastor Matt Harrison from the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March. It says, the gospel is properly the kind of teaching that shows what a person who has not kept the law and therefore is condemned by it is to believe. The gospel teaches that Christ has paid for and made satisfaction for all sins. Christ has gained and acquired for an individual without any of his own merit forgiveness of sins, righteousness that avails before God, and eternal life. That's part of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Instruction, Meditation, and Prayers on Luther's Small Catechism from Pastor Matt Harrison. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the book, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Stay tuned.
Christians in the Public Square, Joyfully Lutheran, The Lord's Supper, Political and Religious Conservatism, The Hippocratic Oath. Some of your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How do Christians live authentically in an anti-Christian society? Do we run or hide or fight? Do we blend in or stand out? Are we all by our lonesome or all in this together? Explore answers to these vital questions in the March issue of the Lutheran Witness, Life Together, Set Apart. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
To me, nothing ages faster than modernity. Modernity changes every 5 to 10 years.
Patrick is teaching them, guys, you don't need these idols in your home. What you should bind to yourself every day is the strong name of the Trinity.
The liturgy is an earthly reflection of the heavenly reality. When we're there in front of the body and blood given to us for the forgiveness of our sins, we're entering into the presence of God where He's giving out to us these marvelous heavenly gifts.
There's this desire to be informal, as if formality is bad. Informal means you're sincere. I don't get it.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Those are the 4 soundbites. We'll play them for you in their entirety in about 15 minutes. And then you are going to vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. A tweet at IssuesETC. In fact, you can vote in advance already at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Pastor Rick Warren's sermon, The 5 Purposes for Your Life. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. So, Chris, give us just a brief review of what we've heard so far from Rick Warren on the purpose for our life.
Well, according to him, we need to find out our identity, discover our purpose, and then know the timing when to apply it. And King Hezekiah has been held up as an example of a fellow who did exactly that. And this is the reason why, according to Rick Warren, he succeeded in all that he did, and there was no king greater than he. And also his obedience to doing his purpose then became the currency by which he was able to extend his life by 15 years. That's where we've been so far. And now Rick Warren is going to turn this on us and try to draw out some application from Hezekiah's obedience to his purpose and apply it to us. And I want you to consider, Todd, that if you're not obedient to this concept, that God probably shouldn't allow you to live any longer. And Rick Warren is going to make that argument.
This is one of the most hopeful stories in the Bible. And it makes me want to ask you, as well as to ask myself, 3 very personal questions. Here's the first question. If God asked you to give him reasons why he should let you live 15 years longer from today, what would you say? What would be your argument? God, you should let me live 15 years longer. Second question. If God reviewed the last 15 years of your life, and he looked to see how well you had served him and how you had served his purposes and how you'd been a good steward of what he gave you, and that was the basis of God deciding on whether he was going to give you 15 more years, would God have a reason to extend your life? Or would he say, no, I don't think you're serious about using your life to serve others. I don't think you're serious about fulfilling the purpose that I made you for, so I don't think I'm going to give you any more time. Here's the third question. Regardless of the time you have left in your life, and you don't know how much that is, neither do I, are you serious about using the rest of your time on earth and your energy and your resources to serve the God who created you and loves you and saves you and helps you? Let me repeat that question, because it's going to determine not just the donation of your life, what you give back, the contribution you make with your life, but it also may determine the duration of your life, how many more years God gives you. Are you willing to use the rest of your time on earth and your energy and your resources to serve God and his purposes for your life? If your answer is no, then why should God give you another day to waste? On the other hand, if your answer is yes, then you need to listen very closely to the rest of this message so you can be certain to learn God's five purposes for your life.
Okay, Chris, I've often wondered this about, and maybe you have an insight into this because you've been looking at this in detail for a long, long time. Is Warren just really sloppy in the way he talks about the Christian life, good works, and God, or does he actually believe what he just said?
He believes what he just said, and he is not just sloppy. One of the things that struck me that was so clear when I met with Rick Warren is that this guy is a bona fide genius. What you see on camera or hear, he is toning it back. But this guy is an extremely sharp, well-read intellect, and he knows exactly what he wants to do when he writes a sermon, and he believes every word of what he says. He's not being sloppy. He's actually being quite precise to his theology and his understanding of Scripture.
So where does Jesus fit into any of this, if at all?
In his brand of evangelicalism, it's tightly allied with kind of the old school Billy Graham decision theology. And it works along these lines. They talk about making the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, the way he talks about it and others in the movement talk about it, is that's called crossing the finish line of faith. And once you've done that, you've made the decision, you've walked the aisle, you've prayed the prayer, then you've got to not have a useless life by focusing on the eternal. Instead, the focus is on the here and the now and the imminent. So Jesus is important in the sense that he got you in, but the cross in their theology is in the rearview mirror, and I mean far in the rearview mirror, and they'll make reference to it from time to time, but it has no bearing, and almost it doesn't fit. If you were to talk about the cross all the time, in your sermons every week, that would be disruptive and get your mind off of the things that you should be applying yourself to.
So, where does putting all these things together that we've heard so far from Rick Warren, where does that leave us?
In the lurch. I mean, note that the expected answer to the questions, the three questions that he asked, all are going to do with your performance, your attitude, your intention. And in order for God to give you more time, and notice how he brought in, you said, like, listen, you know, how you answer these questions could determine the duration of your life, Rick Warren said. So whether or not you're breathing tomorrow is going to be dependent upon your willingness to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to serve you." Because if you don't, God's probably going to say, "You know what? I'm done. I got to go find somebody else who's going to be more submissive and willing to surrender more to my purposes and timing and identity and stuff." And you'll note then that this turns God into a very, very demanding deity. Demanding in the sense where you've got to get with his program. Otherwise, even though you've crossed the finish line of faith, you know, if you're just wasting space, he's going to move you along and end your life. And there's no real meaningful discussion of good works in the purpose-driven system. And this is a distinction I think is important to make here, especially at the end, is that Rick Warren constantly tells people that God made them for a specific and a unique purpose. However, the Apostle Paul would beg to differ. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're familiar with that portion of Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And let me just read this out. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. This is the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Now listen to this next part. "For we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works." Ergois, agathois, good works, and that's plural. So this is like the major error of Rick Warren's theology, is that he believes that people are created by God for a unique and specific purpose. But we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And these good works can be done by children. They can be done by young adults. They can be done by young parents. They can be done by parents whose children have moved out of the house. They can be done by grandparents. They can be done by single people. They can be done by people who are bedridden. And if you want to know what these good works are, you look at the Ten Commandments. You look at the back half of the epistles, where it talks about how we do our good works and our vocations as husband, as wife, as father, mother, as child, as employer, as employee, as a member of the kingdom of priests, where we pray for other people. So Scripture makes it clear that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, not a unique purpose. And therefore, you know, Rick Warren is way, way far astride of what Scripture teaches regarding what we are to be focusing on as Christians, in, you know, is not only in fervent love towards God, but in fervent love towards our neighbor, in serving them and loving them as Christ has loved us. So that's like the major piece of this. And you'll note then finding your purpose and obeying your purpose, this is all legalism. It's a very legalistic system, and there's no assurance that you're doing it, fulfilling it, or you're pleasing God at all, when the only thing you're hearing is do, rather than hearing what Christ has done for us as well.
With only about 30 seconds, does Warren have any sense that the Christian life flows from the forgiveness of sins in Christ alone, that it is that constant forgiveness of sins that actually produces those good works for which we have been recreated in Christ?
I have seen nothing in his preaching and nothing in my conversation with him that would give evidence to that concept. I think that's a foreign concept to him, and I don't even think that that would make sense. Like I said, the cross serves its purpose, and you've got to cross the finish line of faith. But once you've made the decision, you know, the cross is in the rearview mirror, and now it's all about finding your purpose and fulfilling your purpose and serving God, and it's all the stuff according to the law. And law and gospel are not categories that he operates within at all in his preaching. It's just law.
So what kind of purpose will you be driving home tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Okay, so I got a wing dinger of a sermon review. I'm going to be reviewing a sermon from a pastrix in San Diego, where she is literally teaching that Christians have demons within them, and that they've you've got to break curses and have these demons cast out of you. This is part of the NAR and part of the charismatic movement. It's called Deliverance and Inner Healing, and it's rare to find a sermon along those lines. We'll be reviewing that in our episode tonight.
Be sure to listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour at 5 Central at piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the remainder of the program on this Friday afternoon, we're going to spend with you, our listeners. We're going to be playing our sound bites that we've assembled from this week's Issues Etc. audio. And then after you have heard the sound bite, it's your turn to vote and pick one to be Issues Etc. sound bite of the week. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. We'll play the sound bites right after this. Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison, is the author of our Book of the Month for March, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Instruction, Meditation, and Prayers on Luther's Small Catechism. This new devotional resource is available in print and as an ebook. Learn more about Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Why am I joyfully Lutheran?
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Mark your calendars for the Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, at and to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The Home and Garden Show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of regional businesses and partners. The Metro East Home and Garden Show has something for everyone, from the basement to the roof and everything in between, to gardening, lawn care, and landscaping outside your home. From Fred Bird and fabulous prizes, including a flock of Cardinal tickets, to pre-game field passes, and the opportunity to throw out the first pitch at a Cardinal game this season, courtesy of Seavers Equipment, registration required. And remember, pulled pork, potato salad, and more for sale all weekend long. Show admission, parking are free, courtesy of Element Turf. The Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, is sponsored in part by Liberty Fence, Renown Remodeling, Seavers Equipment, and Woods Basement Systems. Show and exhibitor details can be found at mehgs.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
At St. Paul Gar Creek, New Haven, Indiana, our mission is to teach and proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to its members, the community, and the world. We celebrate divine service with Holy Communion every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. with Sunday school at 9:15. We support the ministry of Central Lutheran School dedicated to a Christ-centered education for pre-K through grade 8. We're located at 1910 North Berthard Road in New Haven, and our website is stpaulgarcreek.org. Thank you for listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.